Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday morning show where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a great show planned for you today. We have a different cast of characters in the studio, don't we, Joe?
Yes, we do.
They're on
the other side of the table. That's how it works in radio? Talking to this thing? Yeah, okay.
You're going to need that little thing in front of you. Yes. There you go.
That's like a parole board meeting.
We now have a parole board meeting here.
We're on one side, we're on the other.
In the ASI radio studio. That was, of course, Joe Haley. Joe, how are you today?
Terrific, Andy.
Terrific.
Fantastic. I don't take the turnpike. That's why I'm here.
Okay, good. Well, we're glad to hear it. The rest of you who do, I guess, don't. That's because Kathy Houston is not here. She's stuck in traffic. Sorry, Kathy.
Aww.
Oh. Yeah. And let's just get to it right now. Making those sounds on the soundboard is Rooster. Rooster, thanks for that sound. And the cock-a-doodle-doo right following it up. All right, we have a couple of very special guests with us on the show today. We have CJ Midica, who's editor of Wearables Magazine. CJ, how are you?
I'm doing great, despite my drive on the turnpike this morning.
So you were on the turnpike, and yet you're here.
Yeah, I left half an hour early and came half an hour late, so it all worked out.
Interesting, but yet you made it. Kathy Houston did not. Okay, we also have Larry Bassinet, executive director of ASI Research. Larry, how are you?
I have never been better, Andy.
Do you have numbers to back that up?
I do. I do.
It's his pulse rate. Also, answering your calls today is Vinny Driscoll. We're taking your calls on how to target new markets for business. So if you're looking for any new markets to target or trying to figure out ways to hit up those new markets, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. And Joe, if we put you on the air, what are we going to give you?
You get two things today. You get a $25 Visa gift card, and if you're in Chicago, you get to have drinks with Larry Bassinet.
Oh, okay. In Chicago, that would be in July.
Yes, at the ASI show.
Not right after the show.
Not just any time in Chicago. Larry's going to spend all month there, I guess.
Nothing with an umbrella, though. No drinks with umbrellas.
No drinks with umbrellas. Okay, so we are getting ready to take your calls, as I said. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, our guru with the numbers, Larry, has an SOI preview for us today. Isn't that right, Larry?
I do.
So has anyone heard what's going on over in London, over in merry old England?
I have.
The Queen's...
Diamond Jubilee, and that's how many years?
60.
60 years, a lot of celebrations going on there. Just like last year's royal wedding, there are a lot of promotional products and souvenirs. We're going to take a look at that. CJ, the editor of Wearables Magazine, has today's top apparel trends. We also have six steps.
CJ styling
great
today, huh?
Customer service.
In that green polo.
Got a problem with the color green.
He's Irish. I have a gray polo.
Okay, there we go. Why now is the best time for small businesses? Why is the best time? CJ also has a look at that. We have four ways to land a customer meeting. We have our favorite things, but we're going to start everything off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with apparel market news. Hanes is exiting the private label business and will sell off the Outer Banks brand. The company says it is actively seeking a buyer for the brand and will now solely focus on selling and marketing Hanes and Champion branded products in the U.S., On to marketing news now. The Walt Disney Company said today that it will be forcing advertisers across all of its media outlets to comply with new strict nutritional standards. Only products that meet these new food guidelines will be allowed to advertise on Disney's TV channels, radio stations, and website. International news now, as Joe said, promotional products were all the rage in England over the last few days as the country celebrated the Diamond Jubilee, honoring the 60th anniversary of the Queen's reign. See our picture gallery now on asicentral.com. More marketing news now. A new survey shows that small businesses haven't yet jumped on the mobile marketing bandwagon. 69% of respondents to a web.com survey said that mobile marketing is critical to their company's growth, yet only 14% have a standalone mobile site. Time to catch up, people. And finally, what are we looking at, Joe?
What's on the Joe Show today? Come on, help us out.
You
know, fedoras are very popular right now, and some of them are heavy, made out of twill and, you know, wool. We have one today. It's very lightweight and very fashionable. I put it on my head. I look good.
Yes. I was there when Joe put it on his head, and he did not look good. But anyway, make sure to check that out. In Promogram today, that's the Joe Show. All right, before we go to the lines to take your calls on how to target new markets, we have a special live report from the Promotions East Show that's taking place in Atlantic City this week. We have our own Michelle Bell on the line. Michelle, how are you this morning?
You know, I'm a little hungover in a Keith Richards-esque fashion.
Wow. So where were you last evening then?
You know, I was out with two supplier friends of mine from Bravo Awards in Canada. We were at the brand new hotel and casino Revel, R-E-V-E-L. It was beautiful. We were at a steakhouse there. And let's just say that I drank Pinot Noir last night like it was my job.
Oh, well, you do your job well, so I guess that was also done well. Now, Michelle, how's the Promotions East show going?
You know what? It's really great. They do a really fantastic job as far as making everything really streamlined. The registration. Education Day was yesterday, and they had an array of classes dealing with kind of building creativity, self-promotion, prospecting for new accounts, how to get million-dollar sales. But the one that was the talk of the show was a keynote panel called Rock Stars of the Promotional Products Industry, and we'll have a write-up on that today in Promogram. But the panelists included our very own Tim Andrews, the president and CEO of ASI, Paul Bellantone, who's the president of PPAI, Jonathan Isaacson from Gemline, Joanne Lance from Geiger, Ira Neven from Vantage. And it was really fantastic. Joel Schaefer from Soundline did an awesome job moderating it. He kept it moving. They touched on very controversial topics in the industry, no holds barred. It was fascinating.
What was the big topic that was discussed?
You know, they really, safety was interesting, and they had some stats from ASI, which I'm assuming that our very own Larry Bassinet provided.
Larry's looking a little puzzled right now. So.
I'm sure I provided those.
That basically said that half of the people polled do not consider product safety to be an issue. And I will tell you that all of the panelists nearly fell out of their chairs.
Wow.
Because these are very savvy people who really know. You know, as Jonathan Isaacson said, there's no way to legislate around it. You really have to. It's the law now. And, you know, people need to protect themselves and be aware of what's going on.
All right. So other than recovering from a long night out, what's on the show agenda today?
Well, the actual trade show opens today. It runs through tomorrow. So I will be on the trade show floor. There's a fashion show luncheon today at 12:30 that, curiously, I was not asked to be in. I don't know why.
How come? What do you mean?
Probably because my gait is a little off this morning, I would imagine. But
or they knew you were going to be hungover.
That could be. That could be. But there are tons of parties tonight. So it's just it's a really, really great show.
All right, cool. Well, you you go recover and go have a good show floor day, okay?
Thanks, guys. Have fun.
Be nice to your liver.
Bye.
All right, that was Michelle Bell reporting from the Promotions East show, which is taking place in Atlantic City this week. Now we're getting ready to take your calls. We are talking about how to target new markets to increase your business. If you have any questions about that or anything and you just want to chat with us, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. We have a couple callers on the line right now. On line two, we have Aaron. Aaron, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your question for the host?
Well, I'm looking to expand my business, but honestly, I'm not really sure what markets are best to target. I was wondering how, you know, if you have any tips of how I can figure this out.
Well, let me go to our research person quickly. Larry, what's the top three markets that we see that promotional products distributors are getting business from?
There's a lot of consistency with that. It's and sometimes they change places where they are in the 1, 2, 3 list, but they're always up at the top. And education was second this year. But I think that's a great one to target because there's so many opportunities there, and anybody can get into that. And there are so many ins to the education market. You don't just go to one source. You go to all the various student councils. You go to the Parent Teachers Association. You go to the head of the cheerleading team. There's just a million places to get in schools. And then you go down to the junior highs and highs, high schools and elementary and all of that. It's a wonderful market that keeps on growing, and you have opportunity there to sell some products with a little higher margin if they're meant for resale. So I always recommend that. We also saw healthcare go up again, and we know that, I mean, that's always a big one too, but that one reclaimed the number one spot this year, and that's because the size of that market is just huge. And that's another one where you're not necessarily approaching the giant hospital that's downtown. There's smaller doctor's offices. There's dental offices. There's just so many places that are in the medical industry that gives you a chance to do it, and they just are always busy, and that's because the population is getting older and bigger, and those are two great opportunities there. Then I think you can look at your basic your real estate ones, which are dying right now to try to distinguish themselves a little bit, other financial institutions right now trying to build back some of their reputations can also use our help.
Aaron, I would also say to take a look at your local newspapers, business journals, and just try to identify the companies and industries that are hiring right now in your area. You know, I think it's a little bit of research that you can do very, very sort of quickly and simply to find out the companies that are expanding and the industries in your specific area that are expanding. And then those are, you know, those will give you the indication of the markets that are doing well.
You know,
Joe.
I would do two things. One, think of the connections that you have and network within them. Your group of friends, if you're involved in some community organizations, all those people that you see on a regular basis, what do they do? What industries do they work in? What companies do they work in? I mean, that gives you an in there. It gives you some good information about what they're doing, and it also gives you a little bit of in with the company if you have that connection. The other thing I would look at, the real estate market. Mortgage rates are down at historic lows, and home prices are really starting to fall again. So that means that there could be, you know, a lot of action coming up in the next couple of years. So, you know, realtors and real estate companies are going to need to get out there and advertising. You know, there's a lot of things that they can do, you know, from pens to signing documents to floor mats, what we call welcome mats, and, you know, gifts for first-time buyers or, you know, any buyer.
All right, Aaron, well, hopefully that helps, and hang on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
All right, on line three, we have Pete. Pete, how are you today?
Hey, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling us from?
Calling from Baltimore.
Cool. All right, what's your question for the host?
All right, there's a lot of hospitals and clinics in my area. I don't do business with anyone in the healthcare industry and really don't have many contacts there. But I'm wondering how I could break into the market because I keep hearing that they have money to spend and hoping you could give me some advice.
Yeah, as Larry said a little bit ago to the previous caller, healthcare is certainly a massive market, so it is a good one to target. I would say the first thing you need to do is really try to become a bit of an expert in that sector. So maybe you go to a trade show that the health or medical market is holding in your area. You know, if you look at the convention center website in Baltimore, I'm sure they have listings of trade shows that are coming to the area. Anything that has to do with health or medical equipment, I would just get yourself over there. You could normally just register as a guest or whatever, and just stroll around, look at what companies are marketing, try to speak to some people and see what they're doing as far as their upcoming promotions for the rest of 2012. You know, the key for distributors, I think, when they're targeting new markets is to try to become as much of an expert as you can so that you know what the buying habits are and you know what, you know, the marketing schedules are. And so you could try to become that kind of consultant that, you know, in your case, healthcare companies are going to need. Joe, what do you think?
No, I agree. You know, and the other thing I do is, as you said, become that expert. Find out what trade magazines that they read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because in a hospital, you've got so many different departments, from oncology to maternity to orthopedics, you know, to, you know, geriatrics. So there's a bunch of different needs within them. And then you've got doctors that are practicing within those, you know, fields. And then, you know, there's outside physicians and stuff. So I think that what I would do is I would find one department, get the magazines, get the resources, you know, find out doctors' names, and realize that I think that with hospitals, your entry is not going to be through HR, you know, or through purchasing, or, you know, other areas where, you know, manufacturers might have that point of contact. Find out who's the head of the department. And I would work with just that one department, become that expert, do something for them, and then you have to ask for the referrals. Like, what other departments do you think could benefit from my services?
I'd also add that, you know, specifically for the healthcare industry, that, you know, uniforms and specifically medical apparel, it's a massive sector, but sort of underutilized within the apparel realm within our industry. So that's something you could offer not only for one department, but across a whole range of departments. You know, it could be something where it's actually a color-coordinated uniform or scrub set, and actually there's been studies that say that that's easier for patients to sort of identify who they should be dealing with, whether it's a nurse's assistant, a doctor, based on the color scrubs that they're wearing. So that's something that you could offer to those you know, either hospitals or other sort of healthcare-oriented businesses, and that's something that they probably haven't seen before.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, hospitals and medical centers are always looking for uniforms and different types of scrubs, and you know, they're hiring nurses at a huge clip, so that could be something to take advantage of as well. All right, Pete, well, good luck there in Baltimore, and let us know how you do.
Thank you.
All right, on line one, we have Sandra. Sandra, how are you today?
I'm terrific. Thanks for asking.
No problem. Where are you calling us from?
South Florida.
Okay, what is your question for those?
I have worked in the healthcare market, specifically with hospitals, and one of my great frustrations is I find that they break it down into such minutia. You talk to one person, and then there's this committee, or it's not a department head, and someone is designated. It's so complicated, depending on the hospital system. You're right. You can't go to purchasing. They're not necessarily the decision maker. But I'm struggling because when I make a call, I say, well, I'm not the right one. I'll send you to the other person, but I'm not sure who it is. I'll get back to you. And then you're like in a black hole, and you don't know where to go. You can't just call the hospital and say, the switchboard, you know, who does your ordering? They'll think you've lost your mind.
Sandra, let me ask you, who have you worked with as far as not the naming of the clients, but I mean inside the hospitals, what were your main contact points?
Well, you know, sometimes there'll be a nurse manager on a particular floor that is working on a particular project. And when you think about that, how are you going to find that person? I mean, it was actually a referral from
right.
someone in another department. And it all started way back when I had a friend that worked at the hospital. And you're right. If you have somebody on the inside who can give you some direction, you know, it's great. At the time, she was involved in planning conferences, and it was wonderful. I was getting business. But when she got shifted to another department, that all kind of went away, and other people have their friends and their loyalties, and it can be a little tricky. So I'm just wondering if you have any brilliant suggestions on when everything is so decentralized. You know, the billing is centralized, but all the departments and all the ordering is so decentralized. Any suggestions?
You know, it is difficult, and especially when you're dealing with bigger organizations, the larger the company gets or the organization gets, especially when you're dealing with hospitals, the more, you know, you're ending up at purchasing offices and those kind of areas. But I would suggest just trying to make contact with the people that you think are actually decision makers. So if you're doing a, you know, if you know a hospital is doing a recruiting campaign, if you're seeing them in the area doing recruiting campaigns for nurses, then I would reach out directly to HR people. You know, all hospitals have them, and that could be an avenue to go to. You know, and then they really do make the decision, and then it just ends up in the purchasing department's area. But that's where you could get squeezed on price. But that's kind of a different conversation. I think that your point is just mostly how do you get to the right people, and I think it's a matter of identifying what their needs are. So if it's specifically a marketing campaign, you're getting to a marketing person. If it's specifically a recruiting campaign, then, you know, you want to go to an HR person and try to get an in with them there. And maybe you get that through going to a job fair. You know, like I was talking about to a previous caller, getting to conferences, you can meet the people who are sort of more on the front lines and might make the decisions as opposed to purchasers. So, you know, if you're trying to get in on that recruiting, try to see where they are as far as at recruiting fairs or job fairs, and then see somebody who's there. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say look at, you know, do the ends justify the means. So in other words, you know, all this hard work, is it going to be worth it with, you know, the order that you're going to get for them? So if it's too much work, then, you know, maybe find another industry to target. I would also our local hospital in my hometown, it's enormous, but they've got a very detailed website where you can get the department heads, you know, who's running that, who's the head of, you know, staffing, who's the head of nursing, and all that. If you can get those people, they're going to be your in to who the person is, you know, to talk. And as you said, it might change. You had your friend there. They went to a different department. Now what do you do? So, and people have their loyalties. I would also, and this is something that would Michelle would tell you, use targeted promotions, use self-promotions, especially those that are, you know, going to be beneficial for someone in the medical community. Could be scrubs. There's a tote bag that looks like a scrub top. Or actually, it's a lunch sack. That's something you can do for Nurses Appreciation Week, you know. But you got to get that to the hospital early enough. You know, find out who the head of nursing is or the head of staffing is. Get them that and try to, you know, book that appointment. Say, look, we can do this for your nurses. But I would say that, you know, if all the hard work isn't paying off, you know, maybe you try, you know, another industry.
Well, don't confuse hospitals, though, with the entire industry.
That's true.
Remember, it's healthcare we're talking about, and there's various doctor's offices, dentist office. You don't just have to go to hospital.
But, you know, I have talked to some doctor's offices, and strangely enough, even just this yesterday, I was in two doctor's offices, unfortunately for medical reasons. By the way, do you do any promotional items? No, we never do anything like that. We don't need to. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out I don't think it's medical so much as MRI places and other places that are related that might make more sense to pursue. But, gentlemen, you've been very helpful.
All right, Sandra. Well, good luck, and hopefully some of that helps you get some contacts at the hospital.
You know, I wish someone would go to my kid's pediatrician, even though they're 17, 16, and they can go there until they're 21. Anyway, we need a refrigerator magnet.
Thanks for that info, Joe. Very important.
We're getting up there. I need a refrigerator magnet with the contact numbers. I hate every time. It's like, oh, I got to find the card or, you know, I got to go through the, you know, phone book. If I had a refrigerator magnet, it'd be right there on the refrigerator, easy to find them. So doctor's offices do need that stuff. So
we have one from our pediatrics.
Yeah, see, you know, ours doesn't. Some distributor needs to get over there, Fort Washington Pediatrics.
All right, there you go. There's a plug. Anybody in the area, head on over there. We got you a lead. On line two, we have Bob. Bob, how are you today?
Fine, thanks. How are you guys?
Doing great. What's your question or comment for those?
Well, I don't know if you already covered LinkedIn and the possibilities there.
You know what? Networking. We have not.
That's the whole point of LinkedIn is who knows the guy I have to talk to at a hospital or a doctor's office. And I worked with a pediatrician's clinic several years ago, and I found that if you get to know and find yourself in the good graces of the manager, the office manager, she can connect you with a doctor anytime she feels like it. And we did one thing after another. In fact, I even recommended a reupholstery program instead of replacing all their waiting room furniture, and gave them suggestions on how to get fabric that could be taken care of. And that wasn't even my line.
Wow, so you've moved into the furniture business?
I was a redecorator.
No, but what you want to be for all your clients is the go-to man or woman that can help provide all kinds of solutions for the office, and they're pulling their hair out trying to figure out what to do, and you walk in the door, and you're an encyclopedia.
Absolutely, and your point about LinkedIn and just using the Internet as a resource is such a good one. Right now, you know, there's no there's so many avenues you could have to find contacts. And our previous caller was kind of looking to identify people that might be decision makers in a hospital. You know, as Joe said earlier, and as our caller here, Bob, is saying, there's so much out there available. You know, spend some time online and go through social media and try to find contacts.
But I love the idea of solving a problem by having the chairs reupholstered, saving some money. You know, years ago, I read in a sales newsletter, there was a story about this guy who sold cartons, and he went to this manufacturing company, and they weren't interested, and he went on a plant tour, and he noticed that their shipping department was very inefficient. So he offered them some suggestions how to make it more efficient, and it actually became more efficient. They took the suggestions. Everything was running smoother. They were saving money, and because he helped them with another problem, they gave him a shot with the carton. So
you
know,
go.
That's what Bob did. He solved another problem for him outside of his realm. And
there you go. Solve your client's problems, and you'll be the superstar. All right, Bob. Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for the tip.
Thanks for the program.
You bet. All right, our lines are still open if you want to call about how to target any new markets or anything else that's on your mind. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979. Okay, Larry Bassinet, we are extremely busy here at Counselor Magazine and ASI putting together our State of the Industry issue, which comes out in mid-July. You now have an advanced look at some of the trends that we'll be exploring in that issue. So what do you have?
I do have an advanced look, in fact. Thank you for asking. Three things I wanted to talk about this morning. One of the first questions we asked is a health rating. How do you think that industry did as a whole last year? And then how do you think it's going to do this year? And what we saw here is interesting. We continue to see an uneven recovery in the economy. And I think that's true of everything. But we see the Southwest region being great. And that includes Texas. And Texas just seems to be a place that can't get enough promotional products right now. And in everything we do, it keeps coming up. It had the highest rating for how well the industry has done last year, and the highest in the U.S. for this year. Also, this is the first year we've really tried to break out Canada, and we made an effort there to make sure we had enough sample here to say something meaningful, and we did. Canada's rating is higher than at any point in the U.S., in any region in the U.S., and I think that's also huge, and it's something we didn't really know. Although anecdotally, when I've been up there and spoken to some distributors, they didn't take the hit that the U.S. did with the economy. So I think they've been chugging along at kind of a consistent rate, at least not as bad as we did. They didn't have to recover. So anyway, those are a couple of things about the unevenness of the recovery here that we see and some of the strengths. This is also a presidential election year. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Yeah, we
heard
that.
There is going to be an election this year.
Seems to be in the news.
Rumor has it it's going to be pretty close.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to get together some estimates in terms of spending on this, and it's not easy because we've not really done it in the past, and it's tough to come up with. But what we're looking at is distributors told us that as a whole, they expect that the amount of revenue they get from election-related things goes up 5 times this year from what they got last year to almost 5% of their revenue, which is a pile of money.
Wow. Yeah.
That's a pile of money. And when you think about how much money goes into the campaigns, you've got Obama and Romney with close to $1 billion by the time this is going, plus what the other guys already spent, plus all the other federal elections, plus all the local ones. You're looking at hundreds of millions of dollars in spending in this. It's maybe as high as $800 million that are getting spent in this. And only half of distributors are really actively involved in this, saying they're getting any money at all. So that's very heavy going down to half of it. Now, I think a lot of the stuff gets bought outside of our industry, but still it's a chance for a distributor to say, I can get anything. And they probably have more access to promotional products than any non-member does.
Yep.
And I think they can have new ideas because anybody can think of a bumper sticker or a pen, right? But there's so many, there's 500,000 products that they can choose from. And I think it's a great opportunity there. And if I was going to make recommendations, I would go with this trend. Made in the USA products are going to have a big year.
Yes.
Part of that, I think, is because of the elections. But in a different survey, we asked end buyers of promotional products, end users, rather, of promotional products, what's important is made in the USA important? And the things they get, 75% said, yes, it's very important. So if you're going to make a recommendation, here's an item that's made in the US, and it's going to be whatever Canada, either local or federal or state. And make a recommendation there because that is a huge, huge important item for people that are actually getting it, and we can't ignore what those guys want.
Very cool. All right, Larry. Well, thanks for that, and make sure to check out all the trends in our State of the Industry report, which comes out in print in mid-July and online as well at CounselorMag.com. Okay, CJ, the most important apparel trends that we need to keep our eyes on. What do you have?
Green polos are big this year.
They are. All seasons. For spring and summer, there's a number of trends, so I pulled out a few that are interesting, do have applications, some that are a little more, difficult to envision, but can be used. First and foremost, bright colors. They were massive last year, they're massive again this year, but you're kind of seeing a spread into other sorts of items, such as pants, shorts, and even things like shoes and boxer briefs. So that bright color trend is really become accepted, and it's become even more popular. Two, stripes. Stripes are always popular, but it's always been this sort of like traditional, like nautical stripes. Now it's unusual colors, different designs, some thinner, darker. So you can see an expansion of that. A couple others. Bracelets accessorizing is big. So guys now are actually they're getting back to wearing bracelets and stuff like that. Joe shaking his head.
We have six guys in the room and there's not a single bracelet.
Sorry, fashionable men. Apparently we don't have the corner.
If it was anybody, I would have bet on Vin, but he doesn't even have one.
Rooster's wearing an anklet.
Go ahead. Sorry, CJ.
I'm the only one with even a watch on.
But
Joe does.
But women too are actually going with the stack look, where they're stacking their bracelets on top and wearing multiple at a time. So that's a great way to pitch multiple items for that. And just one more is actually subject of our upcoming video, Hawaiian shirts. Always popular, but think about muted colors, something a little softer. It's more versatile and can be worn in more social situations, and certainly maybe on a trade show floor or at a little after hours party for a company.
Or as a private detective.
All right, so check that out because
with the mustache, right?
The mustache.
You can see CJ, I guess, in a Hawaiian shirt. Okay, Joe, very quickly, what is your favorite Jubilee product?
Oh,
no, we're not. We're going to skip over the favorite products. We're going to do Jubilee products.
My favorite Jubilee, because when you think of Queen Elizabeth and her 16-year reign, you think
that's
it's
a 60-year.
60-year reign. You think of Tabasco sauce because she puts on everything.
Yeah, there you go.
With her teen crumpet, she needs her Tabasco. So it's actually a commemorative bottle of Tabasco sauce.
Wow, that's
to celebrate.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I love it.
My favorite that I saw was a Lego. There was a Lego in the shape of Queen Elizabeth, and it actually had diamonds as the crown.
Very nice.
Very cool. So you can see that on ASICentral.com right now because we have a gallery of photos, so make sure to check that out. Before we go, we have one more quick call we'll take. On line one, we have Scott. Scott, how are you today?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Doing great. What's your question?
Well, I actually had a comment following up on the guy that found the upholstery.
Yeah.
One of the things that, because of the industry and all the varied customers we have, I started networking them together, And it's amazing the credibility you achieve just because you can solve somebody else's problem, even though it isn't your particular area of expertise. Anyway, it just has worked out well for me, extremely well.
Absolutely.
Always the question I ask before I leave every time, no matter how long I've been servicing them, is there anything else I can help you with today, whether it's inside this realm or not? I mean, I've changed bicycle tires, so...
I love that strategy. Now, and Scott, you call with a great point, because promotional products distributors are in a diverse business and deal with diverse clients, and it makes sense that you would offer diverse services. And I think that makes you somebody that clients can depend on, especially for changing bike tires.
Yeah, there's some requests I couldn't fulfill,
we won't ask you what those were. Okay, Scott, well, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening. Unfortunately, we are all out of time for today. We didn't get to our favorite things, but check those out on asicentral.com/radio, and we will speak to you again next week, same time, same place.